Welcome, everyone, to The Deep Dive. So glad you're joining us today. Hi, I'm Pat.
And I'm Jesse.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into something, well, something truly fundamental to the human experience.
Mm.
It's a concept that really touches every single part of our lives, you know, from our earliest relationships right through to our careers and just our overall well-being.
Yeah.
We are talking about the profound sense of belonging.
And our mission for this deep dive really is to unpack what belonging truly means, why it's so vital for us, you know, as individuals and for our communities too.
Right.
And then crucially, how we can actually cultivate it.
Yeah.
So we've gathered some fascinating sources for you, everything from academic research to some really deeply personal stories.
Yeah, relatable stuff.
Exactly. All to bring you the most important nuggets of knowledge and insight on this topic. It feels really timely, doesn't it?
It really does. So, okay, let's unpack this. When we talk about belonging, it feels as something we instinctively understand, you know?
Like we just get it.
Yeah, exactly. But our sources show it's much more layered than just feeling, say, included.
That's right. That's a really key point. Mm-hmm. At its core, belonging is often defined as this subjective feeling of deep connection.
Okay.
A connection with social groups, with physical places, and even with individual and collective experiences.
Mm-hmm.
What's really fascinating here, and maybe a bit surprising, is the general agreement that it's not just nice. It's a fundamental human need.
Fundamental, like really basic.
Right? Yes, something almost all people actively seek to satisfy. It's deep-seated.
And get this, some research even suggests that this sense of belonging might be just as important for our health, our survival even, in the long run, as things like food, shelter, physical safety. The real basics.
It's incredible when you think about it that way.
It seems our very brains and even our immune systems are actually designed to help us avoid social threats.
Right.
And to actively seek out connection. Like our biology is pushing us towards community.
Exactly. And that biological push makes this next distinction really important to grasp. Belonging isn't just one thing. It can show up in two main ways.
Okay. How so?
Well, first, there's what researchers call trait belonging. Think of this as like a stable core psychological need. It's generally pretty consistent within you, your sort of baseline level of feeling connected.
Okay, like your general tendency.
Pretty much. But then there's also state belonging. And this one is much more situation specific. It can actually change frequently.
Frequently? Like how frequently?
Sometimes even several times a day. It really depends on the situations you find yourself in and crucially, how you perceive them.
Ah, perception.
Yes. So for instance, whether you interpret, say, a coworker's smile as genuine connection or maybe something kind of contrived, that split second perception can shift your momentary sense of belonging, your state belonging.
Wow. Okay. So recognizing that difference between the stable trait and the fluctuating state could be really helpful day to day.
Definitely. It means a bad moment doesn't necessarily mean something's fundamentally wrong with your overall sense of connection.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, our sources also offer this really helpful framework for understanding the sense of community, which is obviously so closely linked to belonging.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks it down into four elements. It feels quite practical.
Yeah, it's a useful model. What are the four?
Okay, so first, there's membership. This is that basic feeling of belonging, of personal relatedness. You know, recognizing who's in the group and who's out and the personal investment you feel you have in that group.
Right. Feeling like you're part of it.
Exactly. Second is influence. This is the sense that you actually matter to the group, that you can make a difference. And important that the group matters to you. It's a two-way street.
That mutual value is key.
For sure. Third is integration and fulfillment of needs. This is that kind of reassuring feeling that your needs will be met through the groom, you know, the resources, the support you get by being part of it.
Like shared success or status or just shared values reinforcing that.
Precisely. And finally, number four is shared emotional connection. This is about commitment, the belief that members have shared history, shared places, time together, shared experiences.
Yeah.
And that they'll continue to share them.
Ah, that deep sense of family feeling you sometimes get.
Yes, whether it's your actual neighborhood or maybe a professional group you're in.
And what's great about this framework is how adaptable it is, isn't it? It works for like your local community, your town.
Yeah, territorial communities.
Right. But also for relational ones like professional networks or maybe a spiritual group you belong to. It really shows the different ways belonging plays out in our lives.
Okay, so we've kind of defined it, looked at the mechanics, but what does this all mean for us? Why is this feeling of connection so crucial? This is where it gets really interesting, I think.
Yeah, the impact is pretty profound. Our sources show how fundamentally it affects our health, what we achieve, our overall happiness.
So a strong sense of belonging predicts good things.
Lots of good things, right across the board. We see improved mental health, definitely. Mm. Better physical health, too. More positive social relationships, obviously. But also things like greater academic achievement and even more success at work.
Wow. Okay, so physical health, too. How does that work?
Studies show that having a healthy sense of belonging can lead to things like a strengthened immune system.
Really?
Yeah. Improved cardiovascular health and lower stress levels. It has real, measurable physiological benefits.
And you mentioned work. There's a solid data there too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There was one coaching platform study that found when employees feel they truly belong, Company C, get this, a 56% improvement in job performance.
56%, that's huge.
It is. And a 50% lower risk of people leaving, plus 75% fewer sick days. It's not just a nice feeling. It creates a real competitive advantage. People communicate more honestly. They solve problems better.
Because they feel safe and connected.
Exactly. Now, conversely, and this is the really serious side, a lack of belonging can have incredibly detrimental effects. Our sources link it to an increased risk for all sorts of mental and physical health problems. And here, it's useful to distinguish between two things people sometimes confuse: social isolation and loneliness.
Right. They sound similar, but they're different.
They are. Social isolation is more objective. You can measure it by, say, how many interactions you have, how much you participate in community stuff.
Yeah, like the number of connections.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And this isolation is strongly linked to physical health problems. The health risks are apparently equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Wow. 15 cigarettes.
And twice as harmful as obesity. It carries a 29% increased risk of premature mortality. It's serious.
That's staggering. Okay, so that's isolation. What about loneliness?
Loneliness is the subjective part. It's your personal feeling, your perception of whether your social relationships actually meet your innate need for connection.
So you could be surrounded by people but still feel lonely.
Precisely. And loneliness is more consistently linked to psychological issues, things like depression, anxiety, even conditions like dementia.
It's so significant that the U.S. Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, actually issued a public health advisory about it. Called it our epidemic of loneliness and isolation.
Yeah, framing it as a critical public health issue. Because these aren't just individual problems. They have wider effects on society, on healthcare costs, everything.
It really brings it home.
And, you know, some of the personal stories really illustrate this. Consider Libby's story. She's a carer. And she saw firsthand during the pandemic how crippling loneliness became for so many people.
Yeah, that was a tough time for connection.
Absolutely. Even for people who'd never had mental health issues before. She felt isolated herself, but found strength in just keeping connections going. Even if it was just a quick 30-minute chat or doing a jigsaw puzzle with a client.
Those little things.
She realized those little things matter so much.
And then there's David's story. Wow. That one really stuck with me. After a lonely childhood, being ostracized. He spent 15 years in deep depression.
Yeah, really difficult. Suicidal thoughts even.
But his journey out of that, which he calls his success story, it involved building self-confidence partly through practical things like renovating his house.
Mm-hmm. Gaining competence.
Yeah. And then years of actively learning social skills, like literally studying how to communicate, taking notes.
That's incredible dedication.
It really is. And he later reflected, I feel I belong better late than never.
It's just so moving and shows it can be cultivated.
It absolutely does. But, you know, it's clear from stories like David's and others that while we need belonging, finding it isn't always easy, is it?
No, definitely not. Our sources highlight some really complex realities that make it challenging, especially for certain groups or in, you know, specific situations.
And one really crucial distinction that came up again and again was the difference between just fitting in and truly belonging.
Right. Tell me more about that one.
Well, there was this executive leader, Julia Duthie. She shared feeling like an outsider, even though she was successful. Why? Because she didn't have a university degree like her peers.
Ah, okay. So she felt different. Yeah. And she put it so well. She felt accepted for what she could do, not who she was.
Oof. That hits hard. There's a big difference there.
A huge difference. And this is the key. Fitting in often means we change ourselves. We assimilate. Maybe hide parts of who we are to please others, or just blend in.
Trying not to rock the boat.
Exactly. But that can actually leave you feeling really alone, paradoxically, even when you're surrounded by people, because you're not being authentic.
Right. So what's the alternative? Belonging.
Belonging, in contrast, requires vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
It's about letting yourself be seen, truly seen, for who you are. Even the messy bits, the parts you're maybe scared to show.
That takes courage.
It really does. It's about authenticity over assimilation.
You know, this really connects with the immigrant experience that Deepa Mangnani described in her reflections. It sounded so challenging.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
She talked about feeling stripped of identity. Like, to her family back home, she's becoming American, but to her friends in the U.S., she was still Italian, caught between worlds.
That sounds incredibly tough, constantly navigating different expectations.
Totally. And simple things like food preferences or knowing local politics constantly marked her as different. Even well-meaning questions, she said, like someone asking why she hadn't just hopped on a plane to Paris.
Ouch. Highlighting huge differences in background and privilege without meaning to.
Exactly. It created emotional strain.
Yeah.
And she made this point that immigrants often put in enormous effort to understand the new culture.
Right. Learning the language, the customs.
But often get very little understanding in return, which, understandably, leads people to seek out others like us because it's just easier, emotionally, mentally less draining.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And stereotypes don't help.
No kidding. She mentioned being asked if she came from the land of snake charmers. I mean, that kind of thing just shuts down any possibility of connection. It's disrespectful.
Completely. But interestingly, the journey isn't always about finding a traditional home or fitting into one specific group. Laura Dolce's story offered a different perspective.
Oh, right. The floating house idea. That was fascinating.
Yeah. So she's also an immigrant, and she felt this heaviness of not belonging to a specific geographical place.
Mm.
Very common feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But then, on a solo trip to Europe, she had this epiphany listening to a Björk song, Wanderlust.
Music can do that.
Totally. And the lyrics just hit her. I have lost my origin, and I don't want to find it again. I feel at home. Whenever the unknown surrounds me, I receive its embrace aboard my floating house.
Wow. So home became the unknown.
Exactly. For her, her geographical home became the unknown itself.
Right.
Which suggests belonging doesn't have to be tied to one place or one culture. It can be the sensation of acceptance and inclusion found even in movement or in embracing a multicultural identity.
Like a different way of grounding yourself.
Precisely. She calls her multiculturalism a superpower. This ability to adapt, make new places home, have a global mindset. It reframes the whole idea.
That's a really powerful alternative view. Okay, so we know belonging is vital. We know it can be complex, sometimes elusive. How do we actively cultivate it? What practical steps can people take?
Well, one theme that kept coming up, maybe surprisingly, is that real belonging often starts from within.
From within? How so?
Several sources suggested that true belonging really flows from a place of self-acceptance, being comfortable in your own skin first.
Ah, okay. Not seeking validation from the group, necessarily.
Right. As one person put it, if you can't feel like you belong everywhere, you'll never feel like you belong anywhere. You have to feel at home with yourself.
That's profound. So it's not about trying to blend in and lose yourself.
No, quite the opposite. It's about finding that comfort and mutual gain with others while being yourself. Authenticity again.
Which brings us back to David's story and his very practical advice on making friends as an adult. He learned this the hard way.
Yeah, he framed it as an investment, didn't he? And had those four key ways to show up.
Right. Number one was commit to the connections you make. Like, really get to know people beyond the surface level. Stay in touch. Show genuine interest. Be willing to organize things sometimes.
Put the effort in. It requires proactivity.
Definitely. Number two, show up. Even when you're tired, your social battery feels low. Push yourself sometimes to go to that event. Keep those plans. Consistency matters.
Mm-hmm. Little by little builds the connection.
Third, be open to new friendships. Don't just stick with your existing comfortable circle. Be open to meeting new people you never know.
Yeah. Avoid closing yourself off.
And finally, number four, be patient and persistent. This stuff takes time. Building real meaningful connections doesn't happen overnight. And sometimes, yeah, the effort might not be returned, but the potential payoff for your well-being is just huge.
That's such solid, actionable advice. And building on that idea of active effort, our sources also talked about things like cultural humility.
Cultural humility, what does that involve?
It means being flexible, open, self-aware, respectful, and supportive in how you interact with people, especially those different from you. It's tied to having a growth mindset.
Okay, like being open to learning, willing to adapt your views.
Exactly. Breaking free from self-limiting beliefs or assumptions about others. It's about curiosity and respect.
And this really links back to what Deepa Mangnani was calling for, right? That idea of meeting in the middle.
Yes. For both immigrants and people in the host country to make an equal investment in learning about each other.
Being curious without judging, asking questions with real empathy, truly wanting to learn, not just confirm biases.
That's how you build bridges instead of walls. It takes effort from everyone involved.
Absolutely. So ultimately, whether it's working on self-acceptance, putting in that consistent effort with relationships, or practicing cultural humility, the path to belonging is an active one. It doesn't just happen to you.
That's right. And strong communities, the sources suggest, are the ones that intentionally provide these things.
Mm.
Positive ways for members to interact. Shared meaningful experiences, chances to be recognized and honored, opportunities to invest in the community.
And fostering that deeper spiritual bond, that shared connection.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole ecosystem.
So we've covered a lot today. We've explored just how profound belonging is from its biological roots right through to its massive role in our mental health, physical well-being, our overall quality of life. It's really clear. This isn't just some fuzzy, nice-to-have feeling. It's truly a fundamental human need.
Absolutely. And I think this deep dive really shows that the journey towards belonging, it often involves both looking inward, understanding ourselves more deeply.
Mm, that self-acceptance piece.
And also actively and empathetically engaging outwards with others, seeking out those people in places where we feel seen and valued for who we genuinely are.
And for you, our listener, we really hope this deep dive has maybe sparked some new insights, perhaps giving you some practical encouragement for navigating your own path to belonging.
Yeah. Whether that means finding your own unique floating house like Laura Dolce did, embracing the unknown.
Or maybe just strengthening those vital connections that are right there around you in your everyday life.
Remember, finding your people, finding your place.
Huh.
It can be a lifelong journey. It might have ups and downs. But the rewards, the dividends of truly belonging are just immense.
So worth the effort.
Totally.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into the sense of belonging.
We really hope you enjoyed it and maybe got something useful out of it.
Please, if you did find this deep dive helpful, maybe share it with someone you think might benefit. It really helps us reach more people.
And we'd absolutely love for you to come back next time for another deep dive. We enjoy doing these.
You can also like, share, and leave a comment wherever you get your deep dives. We do actually read them.
We do. Goodbye for now, everyone.